All right, let's pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. I'm delighted to lead this prayer. Please say a prayer for me if you could. I am really under the weather. I'm trying to force back, hold off a cough. My chest was kind of burning me last night, and my lungs were hurting and super congested. I actually took a COVID test to see if I had COVID, because I know a couple of people that actually just recently came down with it, but no, I was in the clear. So that's good news. Just a really bad cold. Those things still happen, right? But if you pray for me, I'd appreciate it. I'd like some reprieve. Although, you know, Dr. Mark Miravalli, who I was in prayer the other day, and I sent him a text because he came to my heart. And I said, hey, I'm praying for you. I hope everything's okay. He says, I'm suffering a lot from a knee. He says, but I'm offering it up for the dogma. So he was praying for this dogma. And it just made me think, hey, Drew, stop crying about your cough, right? Stop. Excuse me. Offer it up. And that's what I'm going to do. So if you're going through a difficult time, maybe you suffer chronic arthritis, you got debilitating headaches, maybe you got back pain, you know, maybe you are suffering a broken heart. I mean, take it, united to that of the Lord on the cross, and ask him to make it meritorious. And today, let's pray for healing. I was looking at my calendar today, and I saw that St. Raphael, it used to be, I guess, his feast day on the old Roman calendar. So, St. Raphael's, of course, one of the great archangels who stand before the throne of God, one of the only three that were mentioned by name in the Bible. Of course, he appears by name only in the Book of Tobit. And Raphael means God heals, right? God heals. So, and that identity, if you remember the story, came about because of the biblical story that claims he healed, you know, the earth when it was defiled by the sins of the fallen angels in the apocryphal book of Enoch. But of course, Raphael's credited with driving evil spirits from Sarah, restoring Tobit's vision, allowing him to see the light of heaven, and receiving, you know, all good things for his intercession. So if you are a traveler, call upon St. Raphael. He is the patron saint of travelers. He's the patron saint of the blind, of bodily ills, of happy meetings. All you nurses, physicians, and medical workers, he's one of your patrons as well. And he's often pictured holding a staff, and either holding or standing on a fish, right? His feast day, September 29th, along with Michael and Gabriel. But as I said, this was a feast that used to be celebrated on this day. So let's pray. We'll pray through the intercession of St. Raphael, and we'll pray together, and we'll just ask God for great, great mercy. All right? And Maggie's going to be praying with me today. Maggie, anything you have to offer before we start? Anything you want to pray for?
I just have a number of prayers of thanksgiving. Like you were talking about in the last segment, Drew, I've had a lot of answered prayers recently, and I just want to thank God for that.
Yeah, when you look back, I mean, I found, Maggie, that I am praying now more in thanksgiving than I am even in petition. I look and I see the hand of God in my life, and the answered prayers, the blessings, both visible and some of those that were somewhat invisible, but with the perfect vision in retrospect, you see God is with you through the most difficult times, and he's with you in those times of great blessings. And I've just been praying with such a grateful heart recently, and I'm grateful for you. I want to pray for you, for your needs. I get a lot of emails. I was reading them over the weekend because I was kind of housebound, one of the most beautiful weekends of the fall. And I'm stuck on the couch, so I figure, well, let me read some email and respond to a few of them and check them out. And man, the hurt and the woundedness and the need for real answered prayer is pretty intense. So we'll start now. We'll pray for you and for all of your intentions. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there He shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we will take our first call today from Anna. She is praying with us in Chicago. Anna, good afternoon.
Thank God I got through. Amen. I am very happy. Drew, I'm also happy that you are back and I can enjoy the prayers that you're doing every day.
Oh, thanks.
So I just want to also pray for my son, who is young adult, 22 years old, and recently, last July, he had a gallbladder surgery, which sounds very simple.
Yeah.
But after that, he was given some kind of antibiotic that caused levofloxacin, and now he's experiencing really severe side effects.
Wow.
And some of those, as I read, and he did too, are just indicating some really serious effects for life.
Wow.
And I hope it's not that. We are going from doctor to doctor checking this, and we are hoping it's not. But I think there's no one better than divine doctor. So I'm asking for prayers for this young man.
Well, I know how concerned you are about it. Let's pray for him, and let's pray with confidence, and let's really ask God for this healing. I'm going to pray for it, okay? I'm going to pray for that miracle that you need. Diary entry 294. That's where St. Faustina wrote. The Lord told her to encourage souls just to trust in His infinite mercy. He says, I love these souls. I love souls, the Lord said, who have complete confidence in me. God's in control. He's in complete control of your life. He says, I will do everything for these souls. It's such a comforting verse for me. I've always loved it. Encourage souls who you come into contact with to trust in my mercy. I love these souls and I will do everything for them. I'll do everything for them. That's love, right? Lord, I trust in you. I do. I have complete confidence in you. And I ask right now for a change in this man's health. I want to pray for all those right now who are facing impossible situations, health crises, Lord, financial problems, relationship problems. And I just give you the cries of all of your children now as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Mercedes. She is praying in the city of brotherly love. Philadelphia. Mercedes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Hi.
Hey.
I will be having cataract surgery on my left eye tomorrow. I ask for prayers for a successful surgery.
Well, you got it. We will pray for that right now, that the Lord will be the hands of that physician. We need good vision so you can watch your Philadelphia Phillies go to the World Series. Congratulations, and you're undefeated Philadelphia Eagles. Compliments to Houston as well. I know those two are going to meet. Lord, I give you right now, Mercedes. I pray in particular for the surgery. That it go flawlessly, and that she receives complete and total healing. And, you know, Mercedes, it's a great day for you to get through because St. Raphael, you know, is known for one of the patron saints of vision. So we ask you in a special way to intercede and really just allow the surgery to be successful. And I pray for anyone who's losing their vision, anyone suffering from macular degeneration, anyone right now who's got glaucoma, anyone who has any eye problem, Lord, I just pray for healings and miracles. You know, we talk about miracles when it comes to the eye. A friend of mine's son lost his vision. He's totally blind today. But I think what happened with Padre Pio, there was a dynamite worker, a construction worker, whose eye got blown out by a piece of dynamite, totally gone. Padre Pio appeared to him, prayed with this man, slapped him kind of in the side of his head, and his eye miraculously regenerated. So we don't want to put limits on God. And I know those are extreme cases, but if God wills it, it can happen. So if your vision is in need of healing, let's really pray for that now. Lord, I also pray for those of us that might be blind to the spiritual realities of this life, who have focused on things that are not of your world, but of this world. And I just pray for clarity of that vision, for purity of vision, and for a heart full of love. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
I want to add Bishop Hebda, Bishop Reckin, Bishop Chaput, all of our nation's bishops to this decade as well. We're on our third decade. That's where Maggie stops, and she's been scouring our Twitter page. And I hope you'll follow me on social media, at Drew Mariani Show. That's our show page, at Drew Mariani, to follow me personally. But at Drew Mariani Show, you can put your intentions up, and Maggie will share them. As God works those miracles in your life, email me, drew@relevantradio.com, and just put answered prayer. Let me know how that prayer was answered. Maggie, what's coming in?
Drew, Cindy wrote me a really moving email. I just wanted to lift her up for special prayers. Steve wrote to us on Twitter and said, "Prayers for my sister with pancreatic cancer. We pray for a miracle of healing, for her peace, and for God's great mercy on her." Marilyn wrote to us and she said, "Please pray that I get a new position that I applied for 2 weeks ago. We need to be able to get money for the loan on our mom's house.
Oh, wow.
Thank you. God bless." And then Elizabeth wrote to us, Drew, and she said, "Please pray for me as I mourn the loss of my baby through miscarriage."
Oh, no.
"For guidance and for God's will and for my family."
That's so sad.
Yeah.
That is so sad. I want to pray for Michelle, a woman who I traveled with. She is praying for pregnancy as well. And all women who have infertility, all men who might be struggling with that, and sperm count, whatever it might be. And we just pray for those women who and families who seek children. I pray for those who are planning on adopting, those who are fostering, and just for the gift of life. Heal anyone who's been damaged by abortion, and please continue to bring an end to this culture of death. Nola is going to pray with us here on the third decade as well. She's in Joliet, Illinois. Hi, Nola.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Welcome. I would like some prayers to be said for a dear friend who was sent home from hospice yesterday. She is passing away, and needs prayers. She has a breathing problem, and it just, I guess, it has taken its call. And prayers for her. Name is Sandy.
All right. Well, I'm grateful for your call. Thank you for calling us. And it's an honor, really, to be able to pray for her, especially in this critical hour. We all make this journey. We'll pray for God to touch, heal, and reverse. He's raised from the dead. But, Lord, if this is her time, then I'm so grateful to participate and be able to pray for our sister in Christ. And I give this teaching moment every time somebody's approaching death. The Lord says, whoever will recite the chaplet will have great mercy at the hour of death. You and I prayed every day. But he also says that when you pray this prayer, when you pray it for the dying, he'll stand between them and God the Father, not as a just judge, but as a merciful Savior. And they'll receive the grace they need. You know, certain souls in the final moments, they depend on your prayers, like that story I just shared, that man who was headed to hell. If it wasn't for that single prayer, he might have lost his soul for all eternity. So I know our united prayer right now is saving souls. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Winona, Minnesota. Barb, good afternoon.
Hi, thank you for taking my phone call.
You're welcome.
I don't want to sound like I'm selfish and thinking for myself, but I had a subdural bleed 5 years ago, and I'm still dealing with after effects from that. And now both of my knees went out, my back and my neck, and I'm trying to take care of my 95-year-old mother.
Oh, wow.
I need a miracle for everything to heal and get back into place.
I'm sorry. That's so tough, especially when you have to take care of somebody like your mom. You are a suffering soul. You are, Barb. Let's ask God to give you a reprieve, okay? I ask for some healing and all that you need right now. I want to pray for all caregivers. I want to pray for the elderly who depend on those to take care of them. And they may be able to let that go. So often that can be hard. But it's really an opportunity when you let somebody else show you mercy. I mean, it really is an opportunity to participate in that merciful dynamic. And I think it's so important. But to you, Barb, I just want to say this. Gosh, the Lord told St. Faustina, he says, if the suffering soul, and you are a suffering soul, if you knew how loved you were by God, you would die. You would die of joy and just excessive happiness. And here's the weird part of this life. You know, I mean, believe me, I hate pain. I hate being sick. I don't want to suffer. But St. Faustina said, one day, when we stand before God, we're going to know the value of every cross that we've been given. We're going to know the value of all the suffering that you and I had to endure. But at that point in time, this test of life is over. It's done, right? We'll no longer be able to suffer. So now, if you are suffering, now is your moment. The present moment is ours. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from Tampa, Florida. Hey, Jason, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew.
Hey.
I'm calling for my 78-year-old Uncle Jerry.
Okay.
And he's in Winnipeg, Canada. And he was in hospital 2 months ago, and I called in and you prayed, and there was a miracle, and he got better enough to go home.
Wow, great.
And now he's back in there with heart failure, and he's at death's door. Wow. And I'm just praying for intercession. Oh, that he be rescued from the grave.
Wow.
Asking for another miracle.
Wow. Jason, I'm so glad you called. I can tell you love your uncle very much. And we are here for you. We're going to pray for your uncle right now. And I'm glad you got through. I really am. Lord, I give you Jason right now, and I love his faith. And I thank you for hearing our prayers. We called before, as you said, a real miracle took place. He was able to go home. You know, my grandfather, Jason, just as a quick side note here, when he was dying, my mother and father prayed the chaplet for him. This was a while ago. And he had died, but came back. He was only gone for a very brief period of time. And he was met by two very beautiful, handsome, chiseled men. They looked like fellow Italians. And they said to him, Joe, It's not your time. Giuseppe, it's not your time. Go back. And he came back and he was given an extended lease on life. And I don't know why that was. Maybe those prayers of the chaplain certainly played a role in it, but maybe he needed to atone for something in his life. Maybe he needed those extra months that God would give him to make right with his family or do whatever he had to do. I never really knew. I think 6 months later, 7 months later, he was called back into the hospital and God called him home. We all make this journey. So I'm going to pray for God's will to be done in your uncle's life. I'm going to pray for you that you can have a great sense of peace about whatever the decision is. And I want to pray for all those united with me right now in prayer. Lord, I give you Janet and Alicia and Yolanda and Mariana and Kathy and Matthew and Carmen and Jose and the list goes on, everyone who's written to me. I give you my own heart with all the intentions that I have. I pray for the spiritual protection that I need. And I just intercede on behalf of all those, Lord, who are struggling with their faith, who are overwhelmed with their anxiety, and who just really need to feel your presence and see your divine and loving touch. So I know your mercy is stronger than our misery. That's what you told St. Faustina. God's mercy, she says, is stronger than your misery. So with that, I trust in you, and I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin, Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Padre Pio,
pray for us.
Saint Raphael,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hey, I'm going to be joined in just a second. I hope you'll hang out with me. Brian Kilmeade, I don't know if you ever caught him on Fox and Friend. He came out with another book. I had an opportunity to talk to him just moments ago. I want to share part of our conversation about where we are in the culture right now. Really, we need to pray for this country, too. We certainly, he's hopeful, though. He thinks things are changing. He thinks things are better. And I like that coming from Brian. Also, just a quick programming note. Mark your calendars. I will be praying the rosary on Wednesday night with Father Rocky. So set a reminder on your phone right now. If you're praying for a miracle, we'll do a double shot. We'll pray the chaplet. We'll take those same intentions, and we'll pray the rosary. So we'll turn to these two weapons that heaven has given us. And I really want to pray for families that night. I want to pray for the conversion of your families, the conversion of your marriages. I want to pray for the freedom of addiction from your kids. It's going to be a powerful evening, okay? It's going to be an evening of prayer. It's going to be a day of prayer for me. Mass, fasting, chaplet, rosary, and I'm going to be praying for you. So mark those calendars. I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, I'll fill you in a little bit on what's happening. And Brian Kilmeade from Fox and Friends will be stopping by.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, that's me. Good to be here with you today. Having fun here, Maggie and Patrick on the phones, hanging out here. Thomas on the other side of the glass. All got done praying, and boy, we're having some fun. We're grateful for you. I mean that. I'm so glad I can give you a look at life that you're not going to find anywhere else. And I was thinking about it. I pray for our country a lot. I pray for this cancel culture that we're in. And you know, you don't often hear stories about people with opposing viewpoints talking to each other in a civil manner, much less, you know, one of those people inviting the other over to their house because of their views. Unfortunately, we live, we as a country, I think we've lost that ability. It's kind of sad. I don't want to be too negative or melancholy over it. But there was a little story I heard about the Supreme Court justices that gave me some hope. And say, you know what? I think there is hope. Sonia Sotomayor, right? She said this again just recently. She told her friends about her admiration for one of her fellow chief justices. Of course, Clarence Thomas is who she was referring to. And even though the two of them, you know, when you take a look at their philosophies, the two of these Supreme Court justices are really on opposite side of so many different issues, right? Yet Sotomayor expressed her admiration for Justice Thomas and related, you know, with people at the court, how he knows everybody's concerned about everybody, what a wonderful man he is. Earlier this year, she told a group of people about how he alone, of all the justices, he knows the names and the stories of every single employee at the court. And she did it again, you know, last week with another group. Can you say that about the company you work with? Can you mention everybody's name here? I hope so. I mean, it's pretty amazing that he had the capability of doing that. But just to put this in perspective, let's turn the hands of time back, 160 years, all right? Think about where we were as a nation. You look at CRT and you take a look at critical race, you take a look at the police, you know, the defunding the police, you take a look at the crime wave, take a look at the fentanyl crisis, you take a look at abortion. I can go through a whole litany of these problems in our country, right? If you go back a century and a half, this country was probably even more divided than we are today in some respects, because brother turned on brother. We had a civil war in this country, one of the bloodiest wars in our nation's history, right? And the division was over something just as evil as abortion. It was over slavery, right? Who was the president? Abraham Lincoln. What was he doing? He was trying to get rid of slavery. He was trying to keep the country together. He was trying to unite us to keep us out of war. And obviously, you know, that proved to be somewhat impossible. But both, you know, Lincoln was a man who listened very well, and he listened to the various viewpoints. There's a book called Team of Rivals that tells about the cabinet that he put together and a group of men who were at in each other's throats. In the same way, one of the harshest critics was a guy named Frederick Douglass, who went around the country on lecture. He went on tours telling people what he thought about the president and what he was doing with slaves. Lincoln did something most didn't do. He wasn't, you know, to a critic, he invited him to the White House. All right, Brian Kilmeade is a co-host of Fox and Friends. He's also the author of several history books, and his latest one is The President and the Freedom Fighter.
I thought
Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, and the Battle to Save America's Soul. It is a great read. It's now out in the paperback version, and some interesting updates in that. You may want to check that out. Brian, it's good to have you with us today. Good afternoon.
Hey, I appreciate having me on.
You know, I'm glad you addressed this. As a broadcaster, I am very frustrated as I watch what's happening in the nation at large. Statues being torn down, and we saw it with Columbus. We have seen the Freedom Statue. You know, we've seen so many different statues attacked and vilified. In your latest book, and I'm going to jump right into what makes it different for those that already have it. What makes this version a little bit different than the one, the hardback?
I mean, for one thing, I know people have gotten to know Frederick Douglass because David Blight's book came out a few years ago, got Book of the Year, Pulitzer Prize winner. And then you have Lincoln is the most written about president in the country. So I just thought, what could I bring new to it as I try to move up in the timeline? And I thought, what about their relationship together, which is not widely known, and what they did, these extraordinary people from the most humble beginnings possible, especially being a slave, Frederick Douglass, and what they ended up becoming in life. and how they combine together. Yeah. I go, that might be an interesting angle to take, and people seem to enjoy it, especially because Black Lives Matter is raging, and now it's been exposed to a degree as of not really going for the Martin Luther King principles to make our country better. They're just trying to make themselves richer. And but then we were talking about the riots who had taken place and the race debates that are happening, everyone taking a knee at football games, so and soccer games and everything like that, not satisfied with America. And I thought, let me tell this story. And as much as America was still developing as a country then, they still love the country. And how dare we in this generation, my opinion, feel as though it's not living up to our lofty standards. Make it better. Don't complain about it. Realize you hit the lottery by living here. And then what I tried to do in the paperback that comes out, it just comes out now in October and through this holiday season, is bring the news to it. And since that time when these guys, you know, when Frederick Douglass passed away at the age of 78 and obviously the assassination of Lincoln at the age of 56, you know, what happened in their lives after? Yeah. Well, we used to just read about them in history books, but now people feel as though they won't live up to history. So it's time to take the Lincoln statue out of Lincoln Park. That was dedicated by none other than Frederick Douglass 10 years after his death.
Crazy.
And was paid for by emancipated slaves who commissioned Thomas Ball in Italy to go ahead and make a statue that's reminiscent of America breaking free from slavery. And he did, and he got it. And people back then, you know, Douglass thought it was the okay statue, but it lived through time. It's a piece of history. And they did a replica in Massachusetts, and they took it away. And they decided in Washington, let's fill it with graffiti and try to take it down. Thankfully, they sobered up and stopped and taken Lincoln's name off schools. I thought, let me bring history to news.
Good.
And that's why I try to put it in perspective. And I think you judge people by the generation in which they lived.
That's true.
And the impact in which they made. I don't think anybody can live to stand the test of time. I think they're what they do in life is extraordinary through the time in which they lived.
Yep.
That's the way we used to judge history.
So true. That is so true. I mean, look, I think about where we are today in this country. And you turn the hands of time back 160 years. Look, the country was, I don't know, maybe even more divided than it is now. You know, the division ultimately culminated in a civil war. That division was over slavery. And Lincoln, you know, he was trying to get rid of that, keep the country together without war. That obviously proved impossible. Let's talk a little bit about the imprint that he had. You know, John Cribb, who's a friend of this show and a Lincoln historian, by the way, I heard loved your book. So, you know, he's
a great guy.
Big thumbs up for you. We know a lot about Lincoln. We talked about him. I know you have. But there are people who really don't know a whole lot about Frederick Douglass. So maybe you can give us, you know, share a little bit about him and his life and the relationship between him and Lincoln.
Which is extraordinary. When I tell you about his life, it's unbelievable that after his passing at the right at the turn of the century, he started fading from history. World War I pops up and, you know, World War II, then what happened leading into World War II. And a historical figure, he was not living through time. And a guy named Phil Foner, Phoner, started studying his papers because the guy had a newspaper, the North Star, wrote for the Liberator, William Lloyd Garrison's newspaper, for he was a leading white abolitionist who really discovered Frederick Douglass. Because he was a great speaker, he taught himself to read and write, and spoke from the heart. Reminds me of half Muhammad Ali and half Martin Luther King, because he was funny, he was sarcastic, and he was insightful and extremely well-read. But he discovered him, and then he ended up getting his break. But William Lloyd Garrison did not think the Constitution could be resolved. He said, let's tear it up and start all over. Garrett Smith, his mentor later on in life, said the Constitution is perfect. We're not living up to it. And that's what Douglass subscribed to. So he was born a slave, you know, was racially with his grandmother most of the time. Mom was licensed out to another, to another plantation. He only met her twice in the middle of the night. He remembers a little fuzzy as a kid. And he ends up born a slave. And what he is has this unending thirst to learn to read and write, was friends with the white kids, and he said, I'll run errands for you if you just let me see your homework.
Wow.
Can you teach me what these letters mean? Can I learn to write? And then later he would be sold to another house, another family, and the Ault, A-U-L-D. And the Ault had a wife there who was very new to the way slaves are not supposed to be taught to read and write. He's a cute kid, and he convinces her to teach him, and they learned to read and write together. But later on, it was discovered, and the husband's outraged, you cannot teach them to read and write because they're going to want more in life. No kidding.
Yeah, right.
Frederick Douglass, the minute he learned what life had, he was thirsted for freedom. And he would be unending. One time got caught, the second time it worked, and got out and got free. And within 7 years, wrote his biography and became an international speaking star, known overseas, yet he was still could be arrested at any time as a fugitive back at home. The white people around him were so ensconced and were so fearful for him, they actually wrote checks and got money to buy his freedom. But that wasn't good enough for him. He wanted everyone in this country free. So he'd become a leading abolitionist, hook up with other abolitionists, grow the movement in the North, saw great promise in this guy named Abraham Lincoln, who knew slavery was wrong and was willing to talk about it openly. This Republican Party gets born. Lincoln ends up the nominee. Instead of Douglass getting fed up with this country and what it could be, and going to Haiti or some other place, he just sees Lincoln as hope.
Yeah.
And Lincoln gets the job, half the country leaves. And he says, okay, guys, just come back. Keep your slaves. You can come back. And that outraged Douglass, obviously. They'd spar from afar. Only Lincoln would be on the receiving end. And later they'd become friends the minute they looked at each other. And they realized how noble both causes were. But one was a politician, one was an activist. One had to get a country together, didn't believe exactly the right thing, and would eventually come around to it. And it's just how that whole relationship took root. And this self-taught writer, journalist, ended up starting his own newspaper, The North Shore, which I encourage everyone to read, and ended up being a thought leader not only of this country but of the world.
Yeah.
And considering when he comes into his prime in the 1860s, 1870s, think about where the world was at that time. That's how extraordinary he is.
Yeah, my guest today is Brian Kilmeade. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about his latest book. Well, the paperback version is coming out this month and over the holiday season. It's called The President and the Freedom Fighter, Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, and the Battle to Save America. So you hit on something very interesting, Brian. You know, I know that Douglass endorsed Lincoln for president in 1860. And then, as you point out, he became critical of him later. And I know he was harsh. I mean, he was on Lincoln, yet Lincoln invited him back to the White House. Did Douglass recognize the challenge that was before Lincoln and what happened? I mean, I thought it was generous of the president to invite him in.
Well, yeah, a couple of things. It was a great question. So here's the deal. You have an objective. You want that objective done. I get it. But Lincoln's got a country to run. And he knew even the North wasn't for fighting for slavery yet. They were fighting to keep the country together. They were fighting for the Union. And these states had left the Union. So how dare they do that? Let's fight for it. And the main issue was slaves. Get rid of them. No, I'm not. And the constant battle, from the fugitive slave laws on down to the Missouri Compromise, this was going on in the country. But when the war first starts, Douglass says, great, now let's emancipate the slaves and let them fight. But if he let them fight and emancipate the slaves, he would have lost most of the North and almost all the border states. And the border states are the ones that said, I'm not declaring either way. So Maryland would not declare. And they didn't want to lose these states. So he says, hey, guys, I got to take my time with this. And he waited. And there were other people like Fremont who said, free them all now. But if you're running a country, it's not the country you want, it's the country you have. So when this country started fighting the war and the South is having some unexpected success, people started coming around to the fact that this was for slavery and this was one of the things that they were fighting for. And they began to realize they needed African-American help, who were more than willing to fight for their own freedom and emancipation. And when they came in and started forming this unit, being so trustworthy, wearing the uniform, fighting for the country, determined to keep the flag off the ground and fighting for the red, white, and blue, then that's a country that was far from equal for their experience. He had to wait, and what happened is Frederick Douglass began to realize that what Lincoln was doing. he had to wait for the right time. And when it was the right time, the Emancipation Proclamation came out, the freedom was enacted. When it was too slow to sign up African Americans to fight, he asked Douglas to help him with recruiting, and he did. His own two sons went into the war to fight. He was going to be an officer, and they just found something different for him. And what it was is he never really had an appointment to see Lincoln. He was lining up like a pedestrian to see Lincoln. We would all be able to do that, you and I. Yeah. And back then, but when word got out that Douglas was on the line, Lincoln summoned him.
Wow.
And he walked past all these white people, sitting senators and congressmen. And the minute they saw each other, he described sitting there. He goes, "This man whose long legs went into two rooms, wow, sitting on a worn-out chair." He said to me, "You know, Frederick Douglass, so great to meet you." And from that first word, he realized the sincerity and honesty of the man. Those are the words of Frederick Douglass, not mine. How do we know? He wrote it.
Wow.
And Lincoln didn't. He was assassinated. He would have. And that would have been a friendship that I believe would have been impenetrable and only grown, because the more they were with each other, the more they realized they got along, and the more they grew through the war. I mean, the Lincoln that started this war's view on African-Americans was not the same as it was in the middle and at the end, because he realized what was going on. He wasn't exposed to it early. He lived grew up in poverty. You know, he had an abusive father. His mom died at the age of 8. He had a stepmom that ended up being pro-education, but his dad, every time he saw him reading a book, he would punish him.
Wow.
And would put him out in the fields for 12 to 14 hours. License him out to wrestle, because he was such a great wrestler. He'd make money off him. So I'm not saying he had a life nearly as bad as Douglas, but if you bet on two men to change America, they would have been the longest odds that Vegas would have ever accepted.
Wow, an amazing story. Just a final thought here in terms of what you're hoping Americans today will take away from your book. What do you think the biggest takeaway is going to be, and how will it help them navigate what, as you know, is a very divisive culture that we're all immersed in today?
A couple of things. Get some perspective on slavery. As horrific as it is and as unbelievable, and it's happened with the Uyghurs in China, and people seem to digest that, sadly. It was on every continent on the planet. Blacks in Africa had slaves. American Indians had slaves. We did not invent the concept. We didn't stop it. We didn't stop it in Brazil. We didn't stop it elsewhere. And yes, it's true. Europe shook it first. But that was only like 10 years before the Revolutionary War. What they write in the 1619 book, that we fought a Revolutionary War to keep slavery, it's folly. I mean, that's based on absolutely no fact. We fought for our own freedom from the crown, nothing to do with African Americans. It's true they were propositioned by the British to fight for their freedom, but that never really substantiated into anything. The other thing is to see how far we've come. You read about this story, I'll be honest, when I'm reading Frederick Douglass' biography, which he kept expanding on through the years, sometimes you got to close the book and you're outraged, and I didn't live it. And then same thing with Booker T. Washington. He grew up a slave. He was up from slavery, wrote the book. You see how they were treated like subhumans, and it's incredible. But what happens is it's a country of growth and progress. We changed it. We made it better. Segregation was horrific. Jim Crow was awful. But we changed it. We made it better. And look at how far we've come. And how dare we want to tear the country back now? It insults everyone that fought to bring us to the point we are.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more. You know, when I look at what's happening with CRT, the rewriting of our history, this gender confusion, all the things that we are dealing with in the culture right now, my question is, how do we get to this point? America is a great nation, and I've got great hopes for the future. How do we get to this point, Brian, and maybe a final thought on how we regain the greatness of this country?
I actually think we're getting better already. You know, when the hardback started coming out a year and a half ago, and I was doing these interviews, it was Black Lives Matter protest in the streets, kneeling during football games, soccer games, Olympic events. They had to make a rule that they wouldn't do it. You know, our flag was a trigger. How dare you put a flag on your car?
Crazy.
I already see progress. I already see turning around, looking at Black Lives Matter and saying, where's that money again?
Right.
I see things in the streets, and I'm not fearing that the World Cup is going to feature our men's team taking a knee. I think I was at a football game on Sunday, and I looked around, I'm like, no one's even thinking about taking a knee.
Right.
It's like we know we're an imperfect country, but Nate, there's nothing perfect on our planet. So I think that people realize the less we go out of our way to point out differences, and I think we're getting to that point, the more we realize how much we're alike. I think that people are beginning to cherish unity. You cannot walk around in a rage 24 hours a day. And I just think that people realize there's more people like our audience listening right now and me and you that don't see color. We see character and we see the person. And we just don't make me think about something that doesn't happen. If I can make it better, let me know how. But please don't tell me I think a certain thing about certain people or certain genders, because I just don't. And most people are insulted that you think they did and do.
Well, look, keep up your great work. Appreciate what you're doing. I know you travel around the country as well. People can check you out on Fox every morning. And if they want the book, and this is a pretty big task, I understand you're going to sign it, get an autographed copy. If they go to briankilmeade.com, is that the best way to get the book?
Yeah, I mean, I just noticed during holidays that I can personalize a book. It makes a difference for people.
Does, yeah.
So if you go to briankilmeade.com, you can do that. And you can just get it wherever your books. And I have a thing for a book tour there. I'm coming to a lot of cities and talking about all my books on stage November 12th in Brantford, in Brandon, Mississippi, and Tulsa, Oklahoma on the 13th, and December 2nd in Newark, New Jersey.
That's awesome. Well, keep up your good work, Brian. I'm grateful. You're working on something else now, a new book?
Yeah, working on the relationship between Booker T and Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, cool. I love history. I think it's one of the problems in the country today. We don't know our history, and I appreciate all those who remind us of it and give clear perspective on it. Hey, check out Brian Kilmeade, co-host of Fox and Friends. Also, go to briankilmeade.com. Get that signed copy of The President and the Freedom Fighter, Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, and the Battle to Save America's Soul.
Facts and faith over fear.
The Drew Mariani Show. Relevant Radio.
You know, we receive over a million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters Studio Line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
We go there. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, coming up in just a quick minute, I want to talk about some developments. Dr. Paul Kengor is going to be stopping by. Dakota Wood will be as well. Some interesting things that are not being reported in our mainstream media regarding Vladimir Putin, and I'll bring that to you coming up in just a second. But look, I want to open the phones. I have a few moments, and I'd love to get some feedback from you on how to fight a cold. Now, do you starve a cold and feed a fever? Do you feed a cold, starve a fever? I just say the same thing. I never know. I am fighting this horrible chest cold, right? I'm dying here. It's been an effort to get through these 2 hours without coughing on the air. And I've had a runny nose, congestion. My lungs kind of burn. I know there are some natural remedies out there, everything from alternative treatments to Chinese herbs. I'd love to hear what you suggest. Do you have some trick to beating the cold a little bit faster? Zinc, vitamin D, C, what do you say? You can get in right now. Like I said, I've got a minute or two for this, but I'd love just to get a little feedback. I may try it tonight for some relief. I was couch bound all weekend, and it was a gorgeous weekend where I was. The weather was stunning, and it was torture not to really have the energy or the ability to get up and move. The number here, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Patrick Alog is on our phones. And Patrick, I don't bring you on often, but you're getting feedback already. What are people saying?
Yes, Drew. We had a couple callers. One said, use Vicks to put on your chest.
All right.
At first, I thought she said sticks. I was like, can you repeat that again? Oh, Vicks. Okay. And then another lady suggested L-lysine, which is an amino acid.
Oh, that's good. I'll try that.
I'll go back to the phones right now.
Yeah, thank you very much, Patrick. I appreciate that. I'll have to check that out. L-lysine. I wonder about glycine. Remember Dr. Joel Brin with his sweetamine? There's a lot of these that are out there. I mean, they sell. I went into this morning to get some decongestant and something for my throat, and they sell zinc lozenges, vitamin D, everybody's a big advocate of. You know what my Italian grandmother used to say? My Italian grandmother used to be a big advocate of garlic, right? Garlic. And I thought, I got to work in a studio today with producers and other people. Might make for a hard day. Don't make me laugh, because if I start to laugh, I'm going to be coughing up a storm. Garlic is, believe it or not, a very popular home cure for colds. A lot of cultures have a home remedy, right, for the cold, and they use garlic. And ginger, too, Maggie was saying. You're right. Chicken soup. What's so magical about chicken soup, right? Is it the glycine that's in it? Is it the garlic that's in it? You know, a drink made with raw crushed garlic, they say, is pretty good for you. So I don't know. Let's take a call or two. I only have a few minutes here. 888-914-9149. I'd love to get your secret. Give me a good one, okay? Anna in New York City. Good afternoon. Hi, Anna. Go right ahead.
Hello. Listen. Yeah, hello?
Yeah. Go ahead, Anna.
Drew, listen, I took oregano oil because I was constipated. It made me go to the bathroom because of the bacteria in the stomach. It's good for killing bacteria. Take some with the, just put it around your gums with a little water.
All right.
Don't take too much of it because it kills the good bacteria.
All right. Well, thank you. You're saying oregano oil. All right. I'll have to look into that one, do a little more research. Anna, thank you for that. Paul in Phoenix, Arizona, thank you for joining me. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi,
nice
Paul.
Nice to hear from you.
Thanks.
Here's what my doctor said to take. Vitamin D3, 5,000 units a day.
Doing it.
Vitamin E,
doing
vitamin
it.
A, vitamin C, if I didn't mention that,
yep.
And zinc, and then the B2, B6, B12, and the other doctor all said all the B vitamins. So yep. Those are the ones I've taken. I was on your trip. I had the opportunity to meet you, and I'm not in too bad a shape. But
hey, Paul, I know who you are. Okay. That's right. Paul, I love it. You're not in bad shape at all. I'm doing all those things with the exception of the A vitamins. I'll have to work them into my regimen. Hey, I'm glad you made it home. After this trip, I think I picked something up, and I have just been under the weather ever since. But great traveling with you. Great meeting you, and thanks for the advice. I'll take a short pause. I'll be back right after this.